Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I rather liked the 1-2-3 part of Three Random Things, but it's almost like the napkins are not matching the tablecloth because the liner is really cool sounding and it sounds really showy, you know, and then the 1-2-3, I can't help but think of the 5 at 5 when I fire the numbers off. You know what I'm talking about, Steven? Do you agree with that, or you think it's fine as is?
No, I agree with you. It's not that it confused me because I know what's going on, but at the same time, like, I don't, you know, I'm going to hear that later on when you do the 5 at 5. I think it has to be two separate things because you're right. It's got a little wackiness to it, you know, the three random things. So, I think it's got to be a little different.
Yeah, because here's how the three random things sound. So, for people who don't know, I'm being persnickety right now.
Three random things.
I even like that the symbol kind of lingers there. And then when we go, okay, here's the first thing.
Number one.
It's techie. It's too techie. It's almost like you walk into someone's house and you're like, who's your interior decorator? And they go, oh, I did it. And you're like, I know. I know you did. So I've asked our sound guy. Yeah, we have a sound guy. We're kind of a big deal over here. I've asked our sound guy, Brian Griggs, to go back and take a look at the tablecloth and match the napkins to it. So he's going to do that. Our next guest, BeaverBlitz.com. Covers Oregon State. Jake Hedberg joining us. How are you doing, Jake?
Great, John. Appreciate you having me on.
All right. Let's get right into it, man. I'm eager to talk to you about the spring game. What are you excited about seeing in Oregon State's spring game? You cover this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone around Oregon State's excited to see the quarterbacks. I mean, if you look at this room compared to last year, it's completely changed. I mean, last year you had a 5-star transfer in DJU, a 4-star quarterback in Aiden Childs. Now you have a transfer in Javonte McCoy and a former 4-star recruit in Jabari Johnson. We haven't seen Jabari Johnson nearly at all. Today's practice was actually his first live practice, and the kid's pretty impressive, but I feel like Saturday is definitely going to be a good opportunity for Johnson to show the coaching staff and the fans what he is capable of.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, like, look, you hit it right on the head there. I just love that analysis because last year to this year is way different. We all kind of knew DJ would be the starter, and then, you know, we were eager to see, Austin play and, Aiden Childs, I'm sorry, Aiden Childs play. I forgot him already. And then now this year, we've got a new coordinator coming in. I'm eager to see what Ryan Gunderson's going to call. And then I'm kind of looking at the quarterbacks going, okay, I got to learn these guys. What have you seen so far from the offense? What kind of offense do you think Ryan Gunderson wants to run?
Yeah, to me, it's definitely a lot of quicker stuff in past years under the previous staff. The passing game was more of a play action, longer developing plays down the field, whereas this year it looks like it's quick reads where the quarterback gets the ball out fast to playmakers in space. And you can certainly see the Chip Kelly effect on the Ryan Gunderson offense. I mean, there's read options, there's speed options, and I'm excited to see what they show on Saturday. I'm not sure exactly how much they'll show because there's really nothing on tape for opposing teams to watch, so it'll certainly be interesting for fans to see what Gunderson brings to the table.
You know, we're talking to Jake Hedberg, BeaverBlitz.com. Jake, the change from Jonathan Smith to Trent Bray. We're trying to get a head coach, get to know a head coach as well. I've had him on a couple of times. He doesn't seem all that comfortable speaking to the media, but I think he's getting better at it. You know, when you evaluate Bray so far this spring, what questions do you have, or maybe what have you noted in watching him coach early on?
I mean, Trent Bray loves coaching. this guy flies all over the field. I am a little interested to see how the transition goes from defensive coordinator to his next job is. I mean, he spent the last 7 years working exclusively with the defensive side of the ball, and now he has to work with quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, tight ends, offensive line, the whole offense. And that's a huge adjustment for someone that's never done that before. And through 13 practices, it's been better than expected. Trent Gray, to me, is a great motivator. He kind of has a fire that Jonathan Smith didn't have, and that's been refreshing to see. Obviously, he's not as proven as Jonathan Smith was, and I think it'll be interesting to see over the next 3 to 6 months how he gets this team ready for August 31st.
I want to pivot a little bit to men's basketball. You and I were texting a little bit yesterday. You've got obviously Wayne Tinkle trying to rebuild. He has his first commitment, and for people who haven't been tracking this stuff, Wayne Tinkle has not only lost Jordan Pope in the transfer portal and Tyler Bilodeau in the transfer portal. In some respects, he's lost one of his good coaches, Eric Revenue, going to Stanford. Obviously, amid that, you've got Parsa Fala from Southern Utah, 6'9" transfer. I'm told he's a really good offensive player, but he needs to learn how to defend. How do you like Fala on this roster as an addition, Jake?
I think Fala fits the role that Oregon State's lacked really since the graduation of Kyler Kelly, and that's a good inside scorer. I mean, if you look at the center spot last year between Casey Obekwe and Shoal Imperial, Oregon State really didn't have a post-scoring threat. I mean, Tyler Bilodeau was a solid player, but I feel like most of his scoring was, you know, the mid-range jumper, and the post threat is something that college teams need to succeed, and I do think that's played a part in the recent struggles from Oregon State.
We're talking to Jake Hedberg, BeaverBlitz.com. The women's basketball team, obviously a lot of disappointment after all the Elite Eight excitement. What do you tell Beaver fans, Jake? You have friends in that circle who are struggling right now with sort of the realities of what's going on with Scott Ruick's program.
Yeah, I mean, all I would say is trust in Scott. I mean, Scott Ruick has rebuilt his program multiple times. I feel like he's a great recruiter, and now he can sell to transfers or late-blooming prospects that Oregon State has immediate playing time in front of a fan base that cares about women's basketball probably the most out of any on the West Coast. And it's a team with proven postseason success. That's got to be his biggest selling point, and I think he will get a few elite-level players through the transfer portal.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, too, to kind of, look, you can feel sorry for yourself as a program for about 15 minutes in today's world, and then you've got to get busy kind of rebuilding. Scott Barnes, the athletic director, came on yesterday's show. I asked him about the decision in football to schedule Houston and Kansas State. He had this to say: it's definitely a strategy, and it's Big 12 flavored.
Yeah, and that specifically for football. Yeah, anytime there's a couple things there, right? One, we're scheduling in advance. We've got to build our schedule for 25, but as we think about that, absolutely any connection that we can have, consistent connection, whether it be in the room or in scheduling or other areas with Power 5 conferences, in particular the Big 12 and ACC, we want to do that. We want to continue to foster relationships there, and that certainly is part of the strategy.
He's definitely trying to forge a relationship with the Big 12 and their schools. Did that cause any excitement in your circle? You know, you've got friends and readers who are heavily invested in this.
Yeah, I mean, for us, most people kind of took it one way, whereas Oregon State's making connections with the Big 12 to potentially work their way into that conference. And then a few people took it as kind of a, oh, we're already scheduling out of conference games with them. There's no way Oregon State is going to end up in the same conference. I personally am more of the first one, where I feel like Scott Barnes is trying to make those connections, because I do think there is going to be I do think college realignment is not done. I feel like it's just a matter of time before there's an implosion of the ACC, and I think the Big 12 could look to add those schools as well as Oregon State and Washington State.
It's a good point. I'll give you one little other tidbit, too. I communicated a little bit with Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark earlier today, and he was very cordial and very more than willing to have an exchange about kind of where the Big 12's mindset was, very open to a conversation about things. And I found that interesting because, you know, if the Big 12 knew there was no appetite for Oregon State or Washington State, I hardly think that Yormark would give me the time of day, you know, much less his ear on stuff like that. So I was very intrigued by that. I also talked to Scott Barnes about the football media rights. Oregon State's got 7 home games next season. Mm-hmm. Washington State has 6. I asked Barnes what inning he was in as it pertained to the negotiation. He said this, Jake.
This one went extra innings.
Okay.
And we're in the final inning, and we're about ready to win the extra inning ball game here.
Now, I know from a media standpoint, you know, dollars matter, exposure matters, but what matters to Oregon State fans as it pertains to maybe where they can see those football games next season?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Oregon State's number one priority has to be to get eyeballs on the game. And I think by the CW deal, that's what Oregon State is doing. So I feel like it's a step in the right direction, and I am expecting it to get done in the next 3 to 4 weeks.
There he is, Jake Hedberg, BeaverBlitz.com. I'm going to cut you loose, Jake. Look, we'll get you back on. I appreciate you, man. Great stuff.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
There he goes, Jake Hedberg, Beaver Blitz. I want to kick those two topics around. In addition to what he said about the quarterbacks, because you think about it, you know, we always talk about things, like, you know, when we talk to friends, we'll say, you know, friend will tell you, hey, I just got a new job, or hey, I just got married, or hey, we're having a new baby, or we're moving, right? Those are the big stressors in people's lives, and you have any one of those things, it can be stressful. It can be stressful to move. It can be stressful to have a newborn. It can be stressful to be taking on a new job. But Oregon State, if you pivot that into the metaphor for what's going on with football, Oregon State's going into a new conference situation. It's got a new head coach. It's got a new coordinator on both sides of the ball. It's got new quarterbacks in the quarterback room, and there's, you know, some familiarity, obviously, with a lot of the coaches having ties to Oregon State. But I am left going, hey, man, if this were my friend and I was looking, I'd be like, you're having a new baby, changing jobs, moving houses, like, you know, take a deep breath, make sure you hydrate. Oregon State's kind of in that situation. Steven, as you look at the Oregon State question for the football season, what's the biggest question?
I think it's the quarterback, because we talked about this, John, last year. It was DJ Uiagalelei. We knew that. And then Aiden Childs showed all that promise, and we thought, man, like, this could be Aiden's job next season. And we thought DJ may be out, and, like, it's Aiden Childs' job to go future. Then he leaves. And I said, if you're going into the season with Ben Golbransky as your quarterback, what can you really expect? Like, he's fine. He's a fine quarterback that can win games, but he's not going to win games for you. He's going to win because of the defense, because of the running game. You need a playmaker. You need a guy that can make some plays down the field, just like Aiden Childs did, just like DJ Uiagalelei did. And now they've gone out. They got the transfer from Idaho, McCoy. They got the other transfer from Missouri, Johnson, and it's just one of those things where we don't know what these guys can do on this level. They haven't played at the highest levels. And Oregon State, as you talk to Angie Machado, as you talk to Jake, they need to win games. They need to be relevant. Is the quarterback going to be good enough to win 7, 8, 9 ball games this season? I don't know. And now you got all this new coaching staff. I think the offense is such a question mark. Like, I have a lot of faith in the defense with Trent Bray. Defense will be fine. I think the offense is a huge question mark this season. Now Damian Martinez is out. Like, it all starts with the quarterback, and if they can, you know, have one of those guys step up and be, you know, what would be considered, you know, an all-conference guy or even close to an all-conference Pac-12 guy back in the day last season, I think that would be great, but I don't know if they have it.
The biggest question for me is the offensive coordinator, or maybe I should just say the biggest curiosity, because I have a lot of faith in Ryan Gunderson. I think he's a hell of a coach. I think he'll figure it out. But it's a curiosity that I have because so much of Oregon State's identity was the offense. It was Jonathan Smith, Brian Lindgren, play calling, creativity, reminded me of the Niners, a lot of play action, tight end heavily involved, but they're going to run the football first. And if you can't stop the run, they will not stop running it at you. I'm not sure what they're going to be on offense. I can't get to the quarterback until I know, you know, what is, you know, how much of this is on the quarterback, you know? And so I'm left kind of thinking Ryan Gunderson is my biggest curiosity, but I've watched that guy. I've watched him coach at different levels. I like the associations he's had, particularly with Chip Kelly at his last stop. I think he's a smart guy. I think he will figure that out. But man, you talk about a friend who's getting a new job, having a new baby, moving, you know, I feel like Oregon State any time now is going to call you up and say, hey, can you come over for a couple hours on the weekend and help me move some things? I got a dresser I need to move.
Do you think there's going to be a little Chip Kelly to these offices here? Jake kind of, you know, alluded to it a little bit. You're alluding to it. Do you think there's going to be some of this, you know, spread run game that we haven't really seen a lot from Oregon State?
I'm dying to know. And I'm going to tune in with great curiosity on Saturday. I don't know how much they're going to show, but I think we'll see parts of what they want to be, or at least get an identity, and then we'll find out, do they have a quarterback? Like, you know, I've talked with coaches who'll say, hey, if you can play, you can play. You know, it doesn't matter what level you're at. Kurt Warner, great example of that, arena football quarterback who goes on to be, you know, an MVP of the NFL, right? Like, if you can play, you can play. Jeff Garcia goes into the CFL, becomes an all-pro in the NFL, makes a Pro Bowl. You know, I don't care if you have a Big Sky Conference quarterback who you put into a great system and he thrives. Cam Ward's a great example of a quarterback coming from a lower level. Now he'll be at Miami at 300-plus passing yards in the spring game. Mario Cristobal, I reached out to Mario Cristobal after Cam Ward had a huge spring, and Mario Cristobal was more or less like, shh, we're under the radar right now. Like, don't say anything about Miami. Too much expectation. But with Oregon State, they're under the radar too right now. But they're also, I think from the Oregon State fans, very much have them under the microscope. If you can be under both things at once, they are. Our big splash is coming up at 5 o'clock. Dan Lanning, University of Oregon football coach. Be here for us.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.